This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Great show lined up. Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, coming up at 7:30. Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up at 8:30. We got a lot of good Laker topics to get into. So thank you for being a part of the show. Want to start off the show. By the way, Mario, always doing a fantastic job with those opens. Start off the show real quick. Let me just put a bow to yesterday's loss to the Golden State Warriors, and then we'll start looking forward because we know this Lakers schedule is going to start getting a lot more interesting. Seven-game road trip coming. Thursday, the Lakers take on the Milwaukee Bucks, so it's going to come right out the gate facing some of the best competition that the NBA has to offer. Okay, so last night's loss. The world's not going to end. I think every Laker fan understands as well, but it's not as if you can't look at yesterday's loss and say, well, that was disappointing. That was disappointing that you're such a heavy favorite to go up against a Golden State Warriors team that, frankly, is lucky to be playing 500 ball. And that's nothing against the Warriors, but Klay Thompson's not there, right? You're kind of filling in some of these other pieces, and you're trying to figure things out on the fly. But they're 7-6 now. They come to Staples Center. And it's one thing to, let's just say the Lakers, let's say they lost a game. They were down the entire game. They just came out flat and just really put themselves in a bad spot the entire game. Too many turnovers, this, that, whatever the case is. Problem with the Lakers is you took a 19-point lead in the first half. At halftime, you were up 16. There were plenty of moments in the fourth quarter that you had an 8-9-point lead or so. And you just don't expect a Lakers team like this to give up those leads, to give them up at Staples Center. I know there's no crowd there, whatever the case is. You don't expect that. So there's nothing wrong with being disappointed in the way the Lakers played yesterday because you guys know this. I spent a lot of my time, whether on Lakers Talk or in the pre-postgame shows, whatever the case is, there has not been much to complain about if you're a Lakers fan. And still to this day, there's not that much to complain about. They're sitting at 11-4. They got the best record in the NBA. Not just the Western Conference, in the entire league, Lakers have the best record. But you gave up 67 points in the second half. Kyle Kuzma talked about it in the postgame show. They lacked a sense of urgency. The Lakers just pretty much handed the game to the Golden State Warriors because they certainly wanted nothing to do with that second half. That wasn't the Los Angeles Lakers. Is the world going to end? Like I mentioned, it's not, but you could still be disappointed in a team that has trained you in your mind to think anytime tip-off comes, especially against teams that you're more superior than, that you're going to figure out a way to get the W at the end of the day. And we've seen some close games against sub-average or below-average teams or right in the middle of the pack teams. Remember, we played the Memphis Grizzlies, only won one of those games by two. I think that Lakers beat the Chicago Bulls just by two. So it's not that it doesn't happen. It does happen. And it's not like last year the Lakers didn't run into situations like this where they just didn't step up against a team that everybody knew they were going to beat. All right, we're done with that game. Lakers lost to the Warriors. They're 11-4 now. A disappointing loss, but the Lakers got plenty of opportunities, I think, now to kind of wake them up a little bit. By the way, how weird is this record for the Lakers? Somebody want to help me understand this? Lakers are 7-0 on the road. They're 4-4 at home. So they're 4-4 at Staples Center. They're 7-0 on the road. I don't really understand that one. Who the Lakers lost to at home? So they've lost to the San Antonio Spurs, the Portland Trail Blazers, the Clippers, and then last night against the Golden State Warriors. So all Western Conference teams. All teams actually, you know, in the playoff race. So that's kind of a weird stat there. You don't usually see that, and I get it. I understand it. It's not like there are obviously a lot of there's no fans at these games. So really, what is the advantage of playing at home? I guess just the fact that you're sleeping in your own place, you're accustomed to the facility and everything else. But overall, I can't explain the 4-4. Lakers let one go yesterday. They got a chance on Thursday to get back on track. So that's a question I got for Laker fans. Have the Lakers, do you think they've been tested yet? Have the Lakers been tested so far this season? And this is why this 7-game road trip is interesting to me, because I think there's some legitimate tests that we're going to, you know, kind of find out a little bit more about the Lakers. There's a lot of things we already know, but I think we're going to find out a lot more over these next 7 games. All right, so I actually don't think the Lakers have been tested. I really don't. And in the few cases, there's a balancing act here. In the few cases where there were good games to kind of gauge, okay, Lakers-Clippers, well, they failed that one. Or a good gauge, Lakers-Portland, even though I don't really think Portland too high about Portland, they failed that one as well. If you look at the wins that the Lakers have, and I'm not trying to discredit what the Lakers have accomplished this year. You're 11-4, got the best record in the Western Conference. You can only play the teams that are in front of you. You can't, you know, obviously control anything else from there. The Lakers, if they got to face Memphis twice, they got to face Memphis twice. They got to play San Antonio Spurs 3 times in the first 9 games of the season. This is the schedule right now, and Lakers are trying to take advantage of what I think is a very weak schedule to start things off. But the reason why I don't think they've been tested is because a lot of those wins, let me kind of go through some of the wins that the Lakers have had, all right? So you play the Minnesota Timberwolves. First of all, they're not a good team, but they also didn't have Karl Anthony Towns. You played the San Antonio Spurs. Aldridge wasn't in 2 of those games. In the 3rd one that he was in, he dropped 28 on the Lakers. You played the Mavs, no Porzingis. You played Memphis, no Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., Justice Winslow. You played Houston, complete disarray. This was before the James Harden deal. It's not a good team to begin with, but that James Harden, literally after the Lakers won that 2nd game, James Harden was traded to the Brooklyn Nets. So, of course, they were in disarray. The few tests that I feel like the Lakers have had so far this year, and I'm specifically talking about the Clippers and the Blazers, they didn't win those games. So there's other games that, you know, I think you have to take advantage of that favorable schedule, and the Lakers, from that perspective, definitely have taken care of that part of the equation of, okay, well, I don't know who I'm going to play, but whoever it is, we're going to go out there and handle business. I mean, I thought I was going to be doing tonight's show. I thought I was going to be doing yesterday's postgame show, saying that the Lakers were on a 6-game winning streak at halftime yesterday. I thought the conversation is going to be, it's a 6-game winning streak, and you're not just beating the teams you're supposed to be beating, you're smashing them. Before Lakers lost to the Warriors yesterday, they had 4 wins out of those 5 that were by 20 points or more on average. On average, it was like, I think 20 and a half points was the average of those 4 wins that they had. So the Lakers certainly handling business. Lakers definitely put themselves in a position where they have their best record obviously in the Western Conference. But what I'm most looking forward to about this trip coming up for the Lakers, I want to see the Lakers in more adverse situations. Situations where things are not going well, and how do they react to it? You know, yesterday I thought it was interesting. Head coach Frank Vogel said this a couple times. He talked about how the Lakers were hesitant, overpassing. Nobody really wanted to take that shot yesterday. Okay, sounds good. It's good learning moments against the Golden State Warriors. You're going to have plenty of more moments like that as the season progresses. But my curiosity about this team is, are they going to be in positions and situations over the next 7 games when you're on the road that allows this Lakers team to be in a tough, critical game? It's back and forth. Let's just use that game coming up against the Bucks. It's a tough game. It's coming down to the wire. Did you get that big stop? Did you execute towards the end? When things weren't going well, what was some of that communication amongst the team? Now, we obviously have a lot of experience on this side of it because we watched the Lakers win an NBA championship, and in some of the most adverse situations, they came through. But at the same time, there are some new players to this team. You know, there are some veterans that are no longer a part of the squad that I think were critical in some of those situations. And I'm referring to Danny Green, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo. I mean, those vets were not just guys that were sitting at the end of the bench and, you know, talking to guys in locker rooms. No, no, no. They were big for the Lakers, not just on the court, but on the sidelines, during timeouts. I mean, they were critical in that whole, from that regard. So I say that because I think one of the things that this road trip is going to allow the Lakers, it's going to allow them to be in positions that we really haven't seen yet this season. So I'm looking forward to seeing what, you know, obviously that looks like. Okay, let's do this when we come back. Let's take some of your phone calls, 877-710-ESPN when we come back. The question I got for Laker fans, is this an important road trip or is it just too early to take something out of it? I mean, are these critical games early in the season? The big three that I want to emphasize, because these are really good matchups, and I think people are kind of underestimating the Eastern Conference. Philly is a tough matchup. Milwaukee's a tough matchup. Boston's a tough matchup. That's three of your seven games you got coming up on this road trip. Even that Atlanta game to end the season, I think, has the potential of being tough. But this is what I want to ask Laker fans is it a critical road trip? I mean, how much stock are you taking out of this road trip when you're playing some of these powerhouses in the Eastern Conference? Or is it too early to put too much stock into it? 877-710-ESPN. When we come back, we'll talk about that. Plus, I'll break down this road trip. Mark Spear is coming up at 7:30. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, how important is this road trip coming up for the Lakers? Is this critical? I mean, do the Lakers got to have some big, big wins against some of these Eastern Conference teams, or is it too early to kind of gauge the importance of the season, especially coming off a Lakers team that just won an NBA championship, had the shortest offseason in the history of the NBA, literally the shortest offseason, them and the Miami Heat, and are pacing themselves, obviously, for the marathon, not the sprint. Let's take a couple quick phone calls, 877-710-ESPN, and then I'll get into just my thought process of what I think this road trip will determine for the Lakers. Matthew in Glendale. Matthew, appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud. You're on Lakers Talk.
Hey, man. Yeah. No, you have a great show. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the Warriors-Lakers game.
Sure.
Well, to answer your question, though, before that, I wouldn't worry about the Lakers right now and LeBron, especially the way he does things with his teams. The Lakers are stacked. I'm actually a Warriors fan, so just really quick, I wanted to say that one reason the Warriors can still win, and, you know, obviously they're not who they were, is because along with LeBron James, Steph Curry is that other player from the era that is an all-time player. And really quickly, if you go to the 60s, you got Oscar and Russell, the 70s, you got Kareem, the 80s, you got Bird and Magic, the 90s, you have Michael, the aughts, you have Kobe and Shaq, along with Timmy, and then in the 10s, you have LeBron and Steph. Right there, I've given you a top 10 all-time list, however you cut it up, and I guess what I'm saying is people want to hate on Steph, and they want to talk about Kyrie and all these other people, but when it comes down to it, and I know you know basketball, Stephen Curry is going to be the other guy from this era that is at that level. And LeBron James, to me, is the GOAT. And I'll finish with a Lakers take here. You guys are so stacked. I mean, yes, all those players you mentioned, those vets, they did a hell of a job helping win the title last year. But it's better this year with the new point guard.
They're more talented, more upside too with some of these players. Matthew, I'm going to jump in here because I want to get to some of your points here. So real quick, you were talking about the era and Steph Curry and how, if I understood this right, you think that the Warriors can still compete for a championship. Well, I'll tell you this, they probably could have. But my partner on the pregame show, and obviously the voice here of the Lakers with John Ireland, Michael Thompson, his son is such a critical piece to that championship squad that the Golden State Warriors won. And as much as you want to praise Steph Curry, which I got no problem praising Steph Curry, and everybody that is criticizing Steph don't really understand how that entire system worked for 5 years or whatever the case is. But the real dude to talk about in this era as well, it's KD. So I don't want to take anything away from Steph Curry. But Kevin Durant, he's a special player as well in this era. So don't forget about KD. And obviously, when KD came to the Warriors, it was lights out. It was over. The NBA was over. If KD didn't get hurt and Klay didn't get hurt, they'd have won three championships in a row. Okay, so to kind of continue on this path of – the conversation, how critical this road trip is for the Lakers. So we're going to find out more about the Lakers, but let me tell you what we already know about the Lake Show. What we already know is that they're loaded. They're stacked, as Matthew was just saying, and this is coming from obviously a Golden State Warriors fan. How'd they blow that lead yesterday? What'd I miss yesterday? Sitting at Staples Center, minding my own business, Lakers up 16, planning out the post-game show, thought everything was going. Alan, let's start talking about the Bucks. And then next thing I know, I come over here to the studio, all hell's breaking loose. This is what we already know about this team. So you got a 7-game road trip coming up. What we already know is they're loaded. They're top to bottom, this Lakers team is loaded. You want superstars? Check. And it's not just two superstars like Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. Actually, I got to be careful when I say superstar. Superstars can only use that term. You can't use that term very loosely. But I'm talking about, these are not just two really good players in the league. These are the top three players in the NBA. In my opinion, that's how I would rank these, the top three. Because if KD is 100%, and feels good and feels right, I'll probably put KD at 2, okay? But you could also make the argument, I mean, Anthony Davis is so stupid on the defensive side, you can make the argument that he's the second best player in the NBA. Okay, superstars, check. We already know that. Depth, check. I don't know how much we're going to find out about the superstars and the depth. That's already there. That's what we already know. I already know that Dennis Schroeder can give you 18 points in one half like he did yesterday. I already know Montrezl Harrell can virtually average a double-double all season long and doesn't need the ball to be effective for the Lakers. I already know KCP is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, is a guy that understands his role from a role player perspective as good as any other role player in the NBA. I could go down the list of the depth that the Lakers have. We already understand that. I think the chemistry part, it's still in progress because this team has only played together for 15 games. We're 15 games in. The Lakers are 11-4. Where you're going to find out more about this chemistry is as the season progresses. By the way, I don't have any concern with the chemistry because LeBron is there, AD's there, Lakers head coach Frank Vogel has proven to be a great leader. They got the right pieces together. Whether you're a huge fan of Marc Gasol or you're not, having that dude in your locker room is a great player to have. Whether you're a big fan of Wesley Matthews or not, and again, I'm pointing out just some of the different players that are on this team these are all good locker room guys on top of it. So the chemistry, I don't think will ever be an issue, but you might learn a little bit more in this 7-game road trip when the Lakers do face some adversity, how they handle themselves, how the squad handles themselves. That's the part that I'm most looking forward to. So Lakers, we know, are on an incredibly small list of teams competing for an NBA championship. There really isn't many. I mean, right now in the Western Conference, the way the Denver Nuggets have started out the season, which was the only other team other than the Clippers that anyone would talk about in the West. Utah's 9-4, but do I think Utah's getting past the Lakers or the Clippers? No, I don't. Maybe they do. Maybe that's a great, great series against the Clippers. But there's only obviously a small amount of teams that got a chance to compete for a championship. So we already know Lakers are on that small list. I'm ready to see, like I mentioned, I think the thing that I'm most looking forward to is the adversity on this road trip. You're at the Bucks, you're at the Sixers, you're at the Celtics. You got great tests on the road. And even those four other games that you have against Orlando and Chicago and Atlanta, and I know most people are going to look at that and say, oh, these are walks in the park. Every team gets up for the Lakers. Every team. What team did I miss out? Oh, no, they don't play Orlando. It's Milwaukee, Chicago, Cleveland, Philly, Detroit, Boston, and then Atlanta on February 1st, and that will conclude the road trip. So they're actually gone for, how long are they gone for? Gone for 2 weeks. 2 weeks the Lakers will be gone. 2 weeks from today we'll have another Lakers talk show, and that's when the Lakers will get ready to come back to L.A. So keeping all that in mind, that's the part that I'm most looking forward to. Now, I was doing this yesterday on the post-game show and on the social show. I was trying to guess how many wins that the Lakers have and, you know, kind of trying to guesstimate here what we think, what will the Lakers, how will they eventually do on this trip. I'll tell you this. Lakers are 4-4 at home. They're 7-0 on the road. I think the Lakers will have a good road trip. I think they'll play good basketball on the road. I think they'll have a chip on their shoulder. Part of it is because they just lost to the Golden State Warriors. I think they want to know where they are, kind of where that barometer is, just as they continue to progress through the season. It's also not the most important road trip in the world. If the Lakers went 4-3 or went 3-4, I'd be incredibly disappointed, but I don't think the world's going to end, and I don't think all of a sudden you now start doubting if the Lakers can win an NBA championship. Like, I don't think any of that applies. So I do think that this is a little bit different. But by the way, you know, looking at some of these matchups that the Lakers have, the Bucks, the Sixers, and the Celtics. I think the Bucks will be the toughest game out of those three. Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics. I think Milwaukee probably the toughest game out of those three. And we'll see how the Lakers obviously handle themselves in that regard. And I can't wait for them to face Giannis Antetokounmpo, which I'm sure, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis don't say it, but I'm sure last year they're both looking at this player individually and saying, you got my MVP award. And I'm sure AD is looking at Giannis and saying, you got my Defensive Player of the Year award. And as Michael always says, the only a trophy that matters when it's all said and done is who's got the trophy at the end, who's got the finals MVP. And the Lakers, you know, obviously took care of business there. But I'm sure there's I'm sure this is a game that this Lakers team is definitely looking forward to. So let's leave it at that. Coming up next, Mark Spears. So for those who don't know Mark Spears' work, let me kind of set it up here. So senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. I love, there's a few guys I love to follow, and I love their work. And Mark Spears does so much more than just on the NBA side of things, but tonight I do want to focus on with him from an NBA perspective, what he thinks of how the Lakers have started out the season. I got to get his thoughts on, is this Brooklyn Nets, is this a real team? Is this a real threat that can go up against anybody in the league, including the Los Angeles Lakers? So we'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk. I'm Alan Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. I want to welcome in Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Mark, thank you for doing this, my man. How are you doing?
Oh, man, just praying for a healthier world, man.
That's a great point, and I'm sure there's, you know, obviously a lot of people on just kind of watching this world kind of unfold over the last year or so, but hopefully some brighter days ahead of us. Mark, I want to get your thoughts, and man, there's so many different things I want to get into, and I'll start off with this, which is probably not the the biggest spotlight, but we'll do it anyways. Lakers and the Golden State Warriors yesterday. Lakers blow a 16-point lead in the second half and eventually lose that game. How common is this? Because you followed a lot of championship teams. How common is it to have games like this where you look disinterested? You look like you're just waiting for the other team to fold. Is this common in championship runs?
Yeah, because I think you get bored with the process of it all, especially when you know that you're the best team, the most talented team. And, you know, I've covered several championship teams the year after. And you got the bullseye that you had before you won is 10 times bigger after you won. So no matter, I mean, when you're wearing a Lakers jersey, no matter where you go, it's that team's homecoming game. But now that they got that trophy too, it's definitely a bigger ball game. So you're always going to get the best shot. And I also think another thing is you don't currently – in Los Angeles, you don't have the fans behind you picking you up when you're down either, like giving you that extra push, that extra encouragement. So that might add to the challenge this season. I'm sure with no Klay Thompson, with no Kevin Durant, with no Andre Iguodala, you know, perhaps they didn't think it was going to take much. And the Warriors have certainly been up and down so far. So to me, that was just one of them days for the Lakers. And I actually think for the Warriors, it was a huge confidence booster. Not saying that they think they could win a championship now, but if you can figure out a way to come back and beat the Lakers, then you should be a team that's at minimum contending for a playoff spot.
You know, I thought it's interesting what you said right there about not having your home fans there. Lakers, this is kind of odd, Mark. Lakers are 7-0 on the road. They're 4-4 at Staples Center so far this year, so they're about to go on a 7-game road trip. But have you noticed that with other NBA teams as well? Is that kind of a reoccurring theme where there are teams that are at home and just kind of assume, oh, we're at home, we'll be fine, but really there is no home court advantage, and they might psychologically be getting up for some of these road games.
Well, I always thought that when you're at home, there's more distractions, you know. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way when I was playing in college. I always played better on the road. And now, I hate to say it, but because these guys can't do anything on the road, there's probably better performances from road teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I always joke around and say, if I was a betting man, I always would bet on teams playing weekend matinee games in L.A., Miami, you know, New York, Toronto, Houston, Atlanta, New Orleans, right? Because, you know, them guys went out.
Sure.
And now they can't go nowhere, you know? Like, you're in your hotel, you're relaxed, you're getting rest, you're not visiting anybody, you're more prepared. So I actually think that the road teams are probably in a better position to win than any time in NBA history. Because, like when you're some team, especially in a smaller market, and you come to L.A., oh, you're getting it in. you're going to the club, you're going to restaurants, you're going here, you're going there.
Sure.
You know, you're getting it all, squeezing it all in, and then some family members or friends, like, yo, they're not talking about going to the game and Indianapolis, they want to go to the game in L.A. So I think now is the greatest focus you'll ever see from road teams.
Might be maybe a good thing that the Lakers are going on a 7-game road trip. Mark Spears, a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Mark, your overall thoughts? Just I got a lot of NBA questions to ask you, but I'll kind of cap it with this one for the Lakers. What do you think? 15 games in, they're sitting at 11-4. What's been your overall thoughts of how some of these new pieces are fitting in, the Montrezl Harrells of the world, the Dennis Schroders? What do you think so far?
You know, I think they're going to continue to get better. It's it's really too early to judge. I do like both the additions and, you know, what, you know, they could bring. But you got to remember, like, these guys didn't really get much of a training camp. They didn't get the typical, hey, let's come to L.A. a month earlier. Let's go meet in Hawaii or something like that, you know, and get to know each other. Like, I do wonder, you know, what their chemistry is. But, you know, Schroeder, he's averaging about 15 a game and 4 assists. I mean, nearly 5 assists and 4 rebounds. He I think, played about what I expected him to play. Same with, you know, for Harrell to be averaging 14 in 24 minutes, that's great. You know, I do wonder what, you know, Marc Gasol has left in the tank, and I certainly expected more from Wes Matthews. Maybe we need to give Caldwell Pope more love, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, obviously you would expect more from Morris as well. But I just wonder, as the Lakers season goes along, like, what their fatigue level is. You know, 2 months out of the bubble, not much time to rest, a lot going on in the world. I just wonder where they're going to be mentally. You know, but hopefully, you know, once the little All-Star break comes, they could take a breather. Hopefully the second half of the season, all the players got the vaccine, for the, you know, that are comfortable getting it. Mm-hmm. It's a healthier environment. But this isn't your typical season. They have a lack of rest and a lack of preparation with several new guys. So I think the best we'll see from the Lakers won't be until the playoffs, assuming they're healthy. And that's another thing, is just staying healthy. Because I know they're not – LeBron probably doesn't want to get rested, and, you know, Anthony Davis, but you might have to, you know. They've had so much on their shoulders physically, mentally, that maybe you take an L here or there just to give them a breather.
Well, we've had AD has already missed 2 games. Some of those just, you know, some nagging injuries. But listen, you make a great point. I mean, that 72-game grind coming off how short their Lakers offseason was, we'll see how much of an effect that has, not just, like you mentioned, physically, but mentally as well. Mark, I want to get your thoughts on – so obviously the news last week, the big news is James Harden gets traded. So now he's on the Brooklyn Nets. You got James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. It feels like you're either on one side of saying, yeah, I definitely think this thing can work, or you're on the complete opposite side and saying, I don't see how those three are going to mix. Where do you sit in all this when it comes to what the Brooklyn Nets did last week?
I think if they could figure out a way to collectively be on the same page, they'll be fine. You know, when you see KD but that's easier said than done. I don't want to just say that and leave that out there. It's 10 times easier said than done, especially when you got guys that are known to be volume scorers. And you can make an argument that those three guys are three of the top 5 guys to score in the world.
Sure.
So my thing is, how do they coexist where there's some unselfishness? How do they, like, not worry about points and just worry about having the best offensive possible and score as the game presents itself, which is something that the Warriors did. Mm-hmm. That's something that, you know, the Miami Heat did with LeBron. That's something that, you know, I saw firsthand covering the Celtics when they won the championship in 2008. KG, Paul, and Ray were very unselfish.
Sure.
And that's my biggest question is, can they be as unselfish? I thought that KD and Kyrie have looked great together so far. I think Harden and KD have looked great together. But how do they look, the three of them? And then another thing that nobody's talking about is, by losing Jared Allen, they lost 22% of their rebounding and 27% of their block shot. So they basically will have the pressure of outscoring everybody nightly. They certainly have the talent to do it, but God, that's a heavy task, man. You're going to have to put up at least 130 a night, 130 a night, because maybe their defense won't be that good, you know?
Mark.
So the other part is there is no training camp. You've got essentially two newcomers or three. Kyrie didn't play much last year. KD didn't play. And, you know, now Harden's new. So I just wonder, like, how they get on the same page. I mean, obviously having Mike D'Antoni and staff helps with Harden. There's some familiarity in terms of KD and Harden playing together. Mm-hmm. But they are certainly the most interesting team, one of the most interesting teams I've seen in a while. If they could take the selfishness away,
sure,
the ego away, mm-hmm. and play team basketball, I definitely think they could very well be holding up the trophy. Hmm. But it could be a disaster too. It's must-see television.
It's funny because the entertainment part is definitely going to be. I mean, you're right. It's must-watch TV. Because you don't know if these three guys will sacrifice or if there's a flare-up, how they act when there's adversity, yeah. You know. So I think all that, you got to look into
and
it.
And off the court, because, sure. I mean, like, with all due respect to Kyrie, who said today that, you know, he's got some issues, things going on off the court. I hope and pray he's okay. But, you know, that there's that too. You know, he's basically telling you that there's some things going on in his life that he's trying to work through. So that I would garner that I'm probably more worried about them dudes off the court than probably on it.
Mark Spears, a senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. We're kind of going around the NBA right now. So, Mark, you broke down what your thoughts are on the Lakers so far this year. Of course, the hot story last week was on the Brooklyn Nets. I guess the other question, and we'll just kind of stay on the, or we'll go to the Western Conference for a quick second. Where do you see the Clippers in the mix of upper echelon teams? And I'm curious to get your thoughts on where you see them. And are they the second best team in the Western Conference? Where do you see the Clippers, or is there another team in the West that you think that can present the biggest problems to the Lakers?
Well, I like the Clippers. You know, kind of what Brooklyn is dealing with now is what the Clippers dealt with last year in terms of not really having much of a training camp because your two stars didn't participate, you know, not being on the same page, chemistry bad, nobody questioned their talent. But now, you know, Paul George seems to be playing as good basketball as he's ever had in his career. You know, Kawhi's Kawhi. They seem to be responding to Ty Lue, and I heard that the addition of Chauncey Billups as an assistant coach has done a lot of wonders for the guys on that roster. That adds another person to the bench that not only the players respect, but some of them have played against, and they feel like they're getting. He's a great basketball mind, you know. You know, he was up for the job in Indiana. He easily could be a head coach, and so he's kind of got that, you know, that old school when E.F. Hutton, when Chauncey talks, people listen, you know. And so I think that they're very scary, very talented team, very capable of competing for a championship. And you know, Paul George seems to have both the on the court and the mental side of it together now, too. So obviously when the playoffs come, they're going to, you know, anytime something goes bad, they're going to, here it goes again. They're going to have to get that weight off their back that's probably pretty heavy from last season. What I saw in the bubble, their collapse was one of the most stunning, curious, confusing, oh my God, things I've ever seen.
Sure, absolutely.
In all my years covering sports, man, just like to be sitting there. I don't know what it looked like on TV.
Complete collapse.
But to see it in person. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And so there's going to be that doubt that's going to linger over them until they can figure out a way to play the Lakers in the playoffs.
Well, we're hoping for it. I mean, I tell you what, of course, being a Laker fan, I'm not trying to watch the Clippers have success, but there's also a part of, I think, Laker fans that you want this matchup. You want to see these two teams go at it in the postseason, and we all thought it was going to happen last year. Obviously, it didn't happen. Final one, Mark. Lakers got the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks coming up this Thursday. Important game for these teams, or just too early in the season to make something out of a game where it's only game 16 where you have 72 and then the idea is a long playoff run for both of these teams. Can you take a lot out of this game coming up on Thursday?
I think it's an iron sharpens iron game where both teams see each other as teams that could potentially play each other in the final. So you want to test yourself against the best, and these are possibly the two best teams in the league, and it's one of those games where the Lakers do get excited about, mm-hmm. and do get ready to play, and you know, as blasé as the season could be, LeBron probably gets excited about this game, AD gets excited about this game, Giannis gets excited about this game, you know, Drew. You know, anytime he probably plays the Lakers, being from Los Angeles, he probably gets excited. So I love games like that. And I think, you know, does it it tells you, I think it gives you a good test to tell you what you need to do to get better. Hmm. It's a good test to tell you where they are. I don't know that the Golden State game tells you that, other than maybe a focus standpoint.
Sure.
But playing against the Bucks is iron sharpens iron game for sure.
Well, Mark, I greatly appreciate the time, man. I always enjoy your insight around the NBA, so I appreciate you doing this, and hopefully we could have you back on here soon. But thank you for taking the time.
All right, brother. Take care now.
All right, that's Mark Spears right there. Great stuff always from Mark Spears. I want to keep in on this Lakers road trip coming up. So I got my team, who I think is the best team in the Eastern Conference. Lakers got the Bucks coming up. They got Philly coming up. They got Boston coming up. Who's the best team in the Eastern Conference? 877-710-ESPN. Give me your thoughts on that. I'll definitely share my opinion on who I think is going to eventually come out of the Eastern Conference. And I wouldn't be shocked or surprised to see some kind of arms race going in the East to try to stay with the upper echelon teams. We'll talk about it when we come back. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, best team in the Eastern Conference. If the Lakers get through the West, which everybody expects them to, by the way, doesn't mean it's going to be a walk in the park. Who would they face in the Eastern Conference? I think this next week and a half, 2 weeks, Lakers are going to potentially face some teams that could represent the Eastern Conference. So you got the Milwaukee Bucks. You got the Philadelphia 76ers. Of course, the Boston Celtics. By the way, we know what Brooklyn just went out and did last week to go get James Harden. I haven't even talked about the defending Eastern Conference champions, the Miami Heat. I kind of don't think this one's a tough one for me. I really don't. I might be higher than most people on that move that Brooklyn made. I might be higher than most people thinking that those three players will find a way to work together, that those three players will find a way to mix in James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. And I understand how important chemistry is. I understand that there's only one basketball. I understand that these are all players that could put up 35, 40 points any given night. I get all that, and I'm not questioning any of that. And I'm not saying that it's the perfect fit. You know, when the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis, it was the perfect fit. I mean, and it's a player that plays two sides of the ball. If you kind of look at, and this is something Mark Spears had mentioned, if you look at other trios, super teams that were put together, trios, right? You got three superstars on your team. all of them complemented each other. All of them did. So if you want to go back to the Boston Celtics back in 2008, they went to two finals, two NBA finals. They won one. They lost one to the Lakers. Ray Allen was a great complement to Paul Pierce, who was a great complement to Kevin Garnett. The Miami four-year run that they had where they won two championships, they lost two. LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade were not only great complements to each other's games, they had already decided and planned, yeah, we're in it to do it together. We don't care about anything else. Let's just see if we can grab a couple NBA championships. Kevin Durant going to the Golden State Warriors. KD was the second best player in the world when he went there. And there's a lot of people that think KD might have even been the best player in the world when he went there. Probably not a lot of people, but a few. LeBron was obviously the best player in the world. But KD went to a team where they had already won an NBA championship. They had won without him. They had won 72 wins. They had 72 wins without him in a season. But when he got to Golden State, KD and Steph and Klay, no one was going to say, no, I need the ball. You know, my averages are going down. Nobody throw Draymond Green in that mix as well. This is a team in Brooklyn that could potentially have those issues. I'd still take my chances with it. Milwaukee's got a really, really nice team. Jrue Holiday is a great fit for that team. Chris Middleton is a very underrated player in the league. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a two-time reigning MVP and a defensive player of the year. They got a squad. I take Brooklyn over Milwaukee. Philadelphia, again, another good team. I take Brooklyn over the Philadelphia 76ers. Boston's got a lot of young pieces that have been competing in the playoffs the last couple of years. I take the Brooklyn Nets over the Boston Celtics. And the only other team you want to throw in the mix, maybe Indiana or maybe the Miami Heat. In a seven-game set, I would take Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving over any of those other teams in the Eastern Conference. Agree or disagree with me, you can feel free to let me know your thoughts. 877-710-ESPN. It's just, you know, when I look at stars are so hard to get to come to your team. And this league is about star power. That's what typically wins. So then the question just comes down to, okay, can you find the right role players? And I'm not underplaying by any stretch of the imagination role players. We all know how big role players are. I mean, use the Lakers as just a fantastic example. Lakers have had some amazing role players over the years. Go back to the 80s, the Showtime era, the Michael Thompsons of the world, the A.C. Greens, the Byron Scotts, the Michael Coopers, the Kurt Rambises. These guys were key. Go back to the Kobe and Shaq days. I could go down the list of whether it was Rick Fox or Derek Fisher or Devin George or Brian Shaw, Robert Horry. Go down the list, right? I know how key role players are. But you got to get your superstars. If you got superstars, you got a chance in the league. All right, we come back. We got our top NBA stories. I got some sound that I want to play from Kyrie Irving. He finally got a chance to address the media. We'll continue to talk about the Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks coming up on Thursday. And if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.